Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us on the show once again, Ramsey Hart from the Table Community Food Center. Ramsey, welcome back.
Thanks very much for having me.
A couple reasons that you're here. One, there's a special tie-in to a film that is coming up. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. But I think it was last week, you were among a group of local organizations dealing with food and the environment that sent a message to local mayoral and councillor candidates as we get set to get into this municipal election campaign. First off, tell us about the group and the message.
So this is a group of other organizations that we've partnered with in a variety of ways. We all happen to be members of Food Corps LGL, but this is not a Food Corps press release. It's distinct from these organizations. And so we've collaborated on a variety of things around the food system and trying to get folks to think more about our local food systems and food security. And so it includes groups like the Frontenac Arch Biosphere Reserve, ConnectWell Community Health, as well as Door Number One, which may not be as familiar to folks here. It's based down in the southern part of Leeds, Grenville, as well as the Merrickville, Sustainable Merrickville. So all these groups we've been chatting about the upcoming municipal election. Sustainable Merrickville did an amazing event that we're kind of mirroring at the table, where they encouraged folks to come out and learn more about the importance of municipal elections for key issues that people might not necessarily associate them with. You know, we think about municipal elections and maybe we just think about roads or parks, but really municipalities have a really critical role in a variety of issues, including issues that are really key to the table, like food insecurity and housing and work to eliminate poverty.
Well, explain to us then, how can a municipality help when it comes to dealing with food insecurity, which is certainly something that so many people in our listening area are dealing with right now?
Absolutely. So it can be a variety of things. So first and foremost, we know that food insecurity is primarily an issue of income. So municipalities, people might not really appreciate the role that our municipalities at the higher level, at the Lanark County level, they are responsible for administering social assistance, for example. So Ontario Works and ODSP, they don't set the rates, that's done by the province, but they are responsible for administering them. So the experience that people have when they're trying to access those programs is very much influenced by our municipal government. And then also support for organizations that are tackling food insecurity, like the table, like food banks in other areas, may depend on local municipalities for either financial support. So the town of Perth supports the table directly, but also in-kind support. So we get storage from the town of Perth, which is really a big help over on the Rogers Road facility beside the fire hall. We also get support for our community garden efforts and similarly in other communities. So those are two ways. And then, you know, if we're thinking about addressing the income side of things, and sort of it all mixes together, right? Because these issues don't exist in isolation, but housing is a key issue. And if people are putting more of their budgets into housing, then they have less available for food. And food tends to be a more flexible budget item in people's budgets. And so if your housing costs go up, typically we see people's availability to be food secure goes down.
It's really interesting. Sorry to interrupt. It's
no,
really interesting.
No problem.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. And I'm going to get you to. But it's interesting to me. I've covered so many elections, and really the basic needs of human life always seem to be down the list for political candidates at pretty much every level until recent years. What has been the catalyst to this shift? We saw that the biggest issue in the provincial election was affordability. And there's that umbrella that you're talking about, you know, housing and of course, being able to afford food and other necessities. So what has really, really sparked this? And don't get me wrong, I'm glad that it has, because this is something that needs to be addressed, and you know better than anyone.
Yeah, I think one of the things that certainly plays into it is that a wider spectrum of our society is experiencing challenges with housing and food security. And so while there's a segment of our population that has been struggling with this for decades and decades, you know, the folks that we have worked with a long time and continue to work with, but we're seeing that challenge spread out across into the middle class. And so you have a larger body of people that are saying, hey, wait, something's got to shift here. I think also, you know, groups advocating for change has helped a lot. The pilot program that was launched years ago around basic income guarantee, I think, helped shift people's views about income and food security and the opportunities that we have to change things. So I think there's a variety of things, but I think the main thing is just the number of people and you know, people that previously maybe didn't see themselves as going to have to struggle to find a decent place to live are now faced with some serious challenges.
Yeah, no doubt. And everyone who goes through the grocery store now sees that, like, the prices have just they've skyrocketed, and it's across the board. Like, we got used to hearing, you know, the price of milk's going to go up for a little while. The price of meat's going to go up for a little while. But now we're in this society, and the same can go with gas prices too, where we see prices go up and they stay there.
Yeah, I think the challenges are, some of them are unique to this particular moment, like, you know, for fuel, the war in Ukraine and things like that. But there's also some inherent challenges like climate change that are longer term and that aren't going to necessarily change. And that affects food prices, certainly, if we continue to have major droughts in major food producing areas that we depend on, like California, then our food prices are going to continue to climb.
So what is the message then, you know, in as direct form as possible to any potential candidate, either running for council or mayor?
Yeah, so to candidates and for council and mayor and Reeves, Deputy Reeves, really please think about food security, think about housing, think about eliminating poverty and climate change and how those fit into your plans to become a council member at whatever level you choose to. And then also to voters and citizens, please think about these as municipal issues as well. It's not just about roads and parks and your property taxes. There's a lot of other issues that municipalities have a very important role to play in.
We've had these conversations over the years talking about the needs in our communities, Ramsey, and we talk about it with politicians, but it seems like until recently, and maybe not quite enough, people don't have these conversations with one another. You may not realize that certain people are struggling. And I think that if people begin to have these conversations, similar to the one that we're having now, about, you know, what are you doing to get by? Or, you know, not asking them how their situation is or anything like that. But I think if people start to have these conversations about the current climate, then you really realize just how broad a scope it is.
Absolutely. And I think that's one of the important roles the table plays and hopefully has played over the years and will continue to play is opening up those spaces for those conversations to happen. You know, we were doing it before the current crisis, but I think certainly through the current challenges, you know, we can open up those pathways for dialogue.
Now, before we move on to the next topic, was there anything else that you really wanted to leave our listeners with when it comes to, you know, for food security and your appeal to candidates?
Well, I'd encourage them to encourage them to read the news release that we put out. It's pretty short and has a couple of key ideas of what they can be thinking about if you're a candidate. And then if you're going to be a voter and citizen in the election, not running, then stay tuned. We'll be putting out lots more information about what you can be asking candidates during the actual election campaign.
Okay. Now, the other thing that we wanted to talk to you about, there's a certain film coming up featuring a certain local organization. Maybe you can shed a little bit more light on this than I am.
Yeah. So on a similar vein around, you know, concerns around localizing our food system and the challenges that being tightly interwoven with a global food system bring to food sovereignty and food security, we are hosting a film called First We Eat. It's a really engaging and entertaining look at a very personal experiment that one family did to try and eat entirely local for a year. Big part of their challenge is that they live in Dawson in the Yukon. So, you know, they aren't in a place where they have a long growing season or, you know, ready access to all sorts of fruits that we get in Southern Ontario. So it was a real challenge. the director and filmmaker is the mother in the family, and it was sort of her idea, and she draws her whole family into this experiment, not entirely willingly, as you'll see if you come and watch the film, but it's entertaining and also thought-provoking about, to what degree are we unnecessarily dependent on outside sources of food, and what more could we do to localize our food system. And I'll just add the caveat that this is, I don't see this as a model for everyone to do. It's sort of an interesting experiment to highlight the opportunities and also the challenges of localizing our food system. But please don't think that this is what we're, the table is advocating everyone to take on this kind of experiment. The filmmaker and their family are in a certain privileged position to be able to experiment and take this on for themselves. And that's not the case for everyone.
I think that when you see a film like this, it really poses the question, what if, what if I was going to try to do this or whatever? It's kind of like, if you have a friend who doesn't mind jumping into the lake first to test the water for you, that's what these types of films do. They show you what can be done, what can't be done, the struggles that go along with it and so on, to really give a perspective to the way that you're already eating and the way that you're already existing.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And so it is sort of like it was an experiment. They have, they didn't expect to continue to maintain this, but they certainly learned a lot through the process and things that they will continue to do. And so through the film and the discussion, we hope that it will get people thinking a bit more about what we could be doing here in our area without necessarily going to that extent.
And what's the table's role in the film?
Oh, we're hosting it. It's going to be at the table. And it was sort of one of our volunteers said, hey, they happen to know the filmmaker and they've seen the film and think it's an interesting fit for, the kind of work we do around supporting local farmers and thinking about food sovereignty. And so they've taken on organizing the screening, but we're happy to host it. And it's on the 26th, Tuesday, the 26th. And we are asking people to register in advance because we have limited seating. There's still tickets available though, and the tickets are free, but do go to our website, thetablecfc.org, and you can click through to register for the great film screening, First We Eat, on the 26th.
Fantastic. Well, Ramsey, I want to thank you again for speaking with us. It's always a pleasure to have you on. If people would like to take a look at that news release, what is the best way for them to go about it?
It's also on our website. So again, thetablecfc.org. Both the film screening and the press release should be really easy to find right on the front page.
We're going to throw a link to that up with this interview when we post it online at lanarkleadstoday.ca, just to make it a little bit easier for people as well. So it just...
Appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem. We just really want to make sure that people are aware and know what is going on. Ramsey, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. I want to thank you so much for taking the time today on In Focus.
My pleasure. Hope to talk again soon.
All right. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.